Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Tux Lurzel.
It's Stephanie Domingo.
Today we be drinking and we be swearing.
Yes.
This is the mini-sode. This is the show that we talk about whatever the fuck we feel like.
So when we recorded our episode last time, my scandal on the landmark Supreme Court case, Buck v. Bell, seemed kind of in the past. I did mention that it had never been overturned, sadly, and that it was still being used in prisons. I did not know how topical this would be 2 weeks later. It was a bit horrifying to hear these allegations, these whistleblower allegations from my my hidey hole. I've been doing a media blackout, but even this reached me underneath my four rocks in Brooklyn. So I'm not going to get into the details about these allegations. Like, you can Google that if you. I'm sure you already know. In any case, this ICE news shocked people and it drew comparisons rightfully to Nazi Germany. I was hoping to be the first to share this fucked up tidbit with you guys, but 2020 doesn't want me to be great. It's fine. You know, as long as people know about it and do better, that's all I care about. But sadly, this scandal at ICE is part of a long history of coerced sterilizations of marginalized people, mostly Black, Latinx, and Indigenous peoples. After World War II, eugenics was a bad word, and sterilization laws waned, but new justifications for sterilization rose. Justifications like population control, immigration, welfare costs, these things emerged as the new, you know, rationales for targeting, you know, the people that we don't like. Because we always need to reverse engineer a reason for systematic injustice. Them are the rules. So I wanted to bring up four examples that I had to cut from my outline for timing reasons that are, I think, relevant today more than ever. So in 1966, a Santa Barbara judge charged Nancy Hernandez with a misdemeanor because she was found in a room with marijuana. Her boyfriend was a drug dealer. She was living there with her child. They tested her for drugs, urine, hair samples. She was not doing drugs. She was just living there. So there was no evidence to incriminate her, yet the judge charged her with a misdemeanor and gave her the choice of probation and sterilization.
What?
Or she could go to jail for 6 months for no reason.
Probation and sterilization.
Correct. One option. Or going to jail for 6 months for no crime. So she went to jail.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, now she has a record for no reason, but yeah. She went to jail. She's like, you're not cutting out my sex organs. In 1974, the case of Ralph V. Weinberger, this one is really bad. This involved the forced sterilization of two Black sisters that were just 12 and 14.
Oh, my God.
They were sterilized by a federally funded family planning clinic in Alabama. Their mother signed an X on a consent form she could not read. She discovered too late that she had inadvertently consented to permanent sterilization, even though all she wanted was birth control.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, why was that even an option? This case, thankfully, got really great media attention because the court ruled that the clinic crossed the line. Duh.
Yeah.
You sterilizing think? Children. Yeah. But it led to the discovery of 100,000 other victims who were sterilized against their will by federally funded programs.
Oh my God.
Often poor people who are told by doctors that they must consent if they want to get benefits, like health care, like if they want
family planning,
but also childbirth. So if they like came to the state pregnant, they'd say you have to get sterilized or we're not going to help you through this pregnancy. They said that they would hold welfare benefits too, like things that they couldn't do, they did, to 100,000 people that we know about. Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
So at the same time that Ralph, this case was happening in Alabama, the case of Madrigal versus Quilligan exposed more sterilization, this time at the LA County Hospital. This one is actually very similar to the current whistleblower case because there was a whistleblower that leaked evidence of rampant sterilization abuse, mostly targeted at Latinx communities in LA. A group of women filed a class action lawsuit and they charged that because their primary language was Spanish, they didn't know what they were signing, basically. Yeah. Because hospital staff would repeatedly, this is according to the whistleblower, approach women for consent to sterilization while they were in labor.
What?
Some after being heavily medicated. They would pressure women into signing English language consent forms they could not understand. It's so insane. A medical student, she was the whistleblower. She was there as a firsthand witness on a maternity ward. She testified about what she viewed as a concerted effort, she said, to reduce the birth rate of racial minorities. I have a statement from her, from the court. She said, the doctor would hold a syringe in front of the mother who was in labor pain and ask her if she wanted a painkiller. While the woman was in the throes of a contraction, the doctor would say, do you want a painkiller? Then sign the papers. Do you want the pain to stop? Do you want to have to go through this again? Sign the papers.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Ultimately, though, the 10 plaintiffs, they lost this trial because the judge said, get this, it was just a miscommunication between patient and doctor.
This is such a clear-cut case of, like, they did this shit on purpose.
On purpose.
This was not miscommunication. Yeah.
Nope.
They were...
Yeah, coercing women in labor pain. They could have been signing anything.
This was in the 70s, you said?
Yeah, this is in the 70s. This was, I think, from 68 to 70, this happened.
And this doctor was able to keep his license and keep doing this shit?
Correct.
And did the sterilization stop after?
Yeah.
Okay.
They changed the law so that doctors couldn't do this, like, on the spot. Like, even if they signed the consent form, they couldn't do anything for 72 hours, which is still really fucked up.
I mean, that's still
ridiculous,
especially if you're dealing with women who are going to be in the hospital anyways, and English isn't their first language.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a real life season of American Horror Story.
Yeah, pretty much. It's really fucked up. So I just have one more example of this just horrible fuckery through the ages. So in 1970, there was this bill that went through called the Family Planning Services and Population Research Act, which just sounds, sounds legit.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like anything crazy. But under it, doctors sterilize, that we know about, 25% of Native American women of childbearing age as young as 15.
25% of, like, the entire population?
Correct. Because these were all done at the Indian Health Service.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But they're thinking that it's actually closer to 50%. And most of the women weren't even notified. Like, they would go in for some other surgery and they would leave and, like, they wouldn't even be told that they tied their tubes. Or the ones who were told that they had to do this to keep benefits. Like, it was done under duress. So despicable, especially for Native populations, because most of the land allotment is matrilineal.
Uh-huh.
So this is how you prevent their communities from growing.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Was this a topic that people talked about openly, or was it kind of just happening behind closed doors with nobody knowing what was going on?
It's hard to say exactly.
Yeah.
Because there... It does seem like some doctors were just doing shit willy-nilly.
Yeah.
But this one seems targeted.
Yeah.
There's just so many examples of this happening in the 60s and 70s. It's so upsetting. And prisons and mental facilities, people being coerced into just horrible procedures that they had no idea, like, the consequences were. Like, 15-year-old? Like, why are you sterilizing a 15-year-old girl?
It doesn't make any sense.
For what purpose?
To prevent crime.
Yes, yes.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Vanessa.
And we're a Tap on the Wrist podcast.
Every week, we bring you a new history story with an alcohol twist. The stories you didn't learn from a textbook.
And for season two, we're focusing on Al Capone and the Chicago Beer Wars in an 8-part series.
We'll be discussing origin stories, prohibition, mob hits, and political scandals. Not to mention a deep dive into the man Capone himself.
Make sure you subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of season two.
And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at A Tap on the Wrist.
So grab a drink and come along for the ride. Cheers.
So I just have one more thing that's kind of related. It's more related to the monkey gland.
Okay.
So if you listen to the latest episode, you're well aware that the monkey gland is my favorite drink. Yes. I don't want to go into it.
Thoroughly enjoyed that cocktail.
That's all we'll say about that. But I couldn't believe how closely, like, a mad scientist theme was to my scandal.
Yeah.
It was almost kind of unbelievable. That's why I drank too much. So I had to cut the story of Dr. Leo Stanley out of my original outline. He was the chief surgeon at the San Quentin State Penitentiary from 1913 to 1951. This dude, he loved himself some eugenics, like, loved it. But at the time, he was unable to forcibly sterilize people. So he had to trick them. He basically told people that this was to your benefit, men specifically. He would talk them into the procedure, saying that it would improve their health. He claimed that vasectomies would make you live longer. It would increase your libido.
Really? When was this?
Prevent STIs. This was like 30s and 40s.
Okay.
Through 51.
Okay.
But through basically tricking people, like, he would hang flyers outside with, like, all these benefits of getting sterilized. So people volunteered.
Jeez.
600 people volunteered to get vasectomies.
Wow.
But his real passion was testicular surgeries. He was driven by the idea that he could purify criminals. He thought he could cultivate, this is his words, socially fit individuals by replacing a prisoner's testicles with those of a deceased male previously deemed socially fit.
Oh my God.
So he would go on to perform 10,000 of these testicular surgeries within the walls of San Quentin. But this expanded out to the public, the rich public, as you were saying, that the monkey gland was just this, like, kind of cure-all fantasy.
Well, they were different. The monkey gland was a different kind of thing because it wasn't a replacement for testicles. It was just, like, adding monkey testicles somewhere in your body.
So he would get there. So he, at first, he was taking testicles from executed inmates, usually black. If unavailable, he would use goats, boars, rams, or deer.
What?
And he would put them into the scrotum of the recipient, usually white. He was doing scrotum replacements, basically, with cadavers.
That is so weird.
Former living prisoners that were executed, he would take their balls and replace some old rich man's balls. Because his whole thing was, like, these were young men who had, like, new balls and could give old rich men, like, vitality.
Yeah. So this would have been after Voronoff. Voronoff was, like, the 1910s through...
Oh, yeah, this is after.
He, like, stopped in the 40s.
Oh, okay. This guy was doing this
so
shit.
He would have been inspired by Voronoff, probably. That's so bizarre. And then, like, also did animals, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have your testicles replaced by goat testicles.
Yes. Needless to say, these didn't really do anything, and some people got really, like, fucked up because of this surgery.
I'm sure you would. Your body would reject that, and then...
Yeah. So he had this less invasive procedure, but it was more insane, in my opinion. So he would first... Oh, man. So he would take donor testicles. So these are prisoners who were executed. He would take their testicles, mash them up into a paste.
What?
And then inject the mixture into the recipient's abdomen. He said that this cured acne, depression, asthma, your face.
I just cannot.
Yes. And yeah, that's what he was doing.
Wow. And so this wasn't like through a prison or whatever.
He was using inmates.
Okay. But the patients were not prisoners.
No, not this time. Some of them were, but, you know, these are rich people paying for this treatment, air quotes, treatment.
Good Lord.
Mashed up testicles injected into your stomach.
Oh, what a world.
Cure acne? Like, there has to be a better way.
I mean.
Stop eating chocolate. Never.
Fuck that.
Sox is like, where's the syringe?
Yeah, give me. Wow.
Yeah, so that's. These are the things that were, like, tangential that I had to cut on my outline for time reasons. Good grief, right?
Happy Halloween. Holy shit. What is wrong with this country?
And he was a doctor who never lost his license, like was just doing this shit till he retired. Unbelievable, right?
Even Voronoff had, he never lost his license, but he was basically exposed as a quack and everybody, yeah. Like, he turned into like a laughing stock.
Yeah.
Wow. But that was in France, so.
Oh, okay. They know in better America, over they're there.
Like, no, keep it up. Let's go.
We love it.
Okay, so, wow. Yeah.
So I guess our drinks are empty.
Empty-ish. We're getting there.
Yeah.
I think we're done. I can't talk about this anymore.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach.
Thank you much.
This has been Stephanie D'Amico.
And Tux Lurzel.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather. We could not do this without him.
He's a witch.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Bye.
Happy Halloween.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn. New episodes are released the first and third Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.